Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together with Naturally 7 and Let It Be.
Lord, I pray for this day we come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you.
As always, I applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy Sunday as we consciously come together to link hearts and minds across the airwaves, to deepen in our connection and our communion with the ground of being God in us as us. And this morning, I want to share a little about my friend who I mentioned before collapsed the day after we had lunch, and now she's in the hospice. And her journey to be at peace. I have always felt, thought, spoken to, and believed that peace is the thing that we are most seeking. People can have all the money in the world, have all the possessions, could have the abundance that most people are longing for, wanting, craving for. But without peace in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, all these things mean nothing. And the quote that I shared yesterday by Thomas Merton, who said, we are not at peace with others because we are not at peace with ourselves. And we are not at peace with ourselves because we are not at peace with God. Those words are so true and so deep and so meaningful. And if we dissect it and break it down, true peace comes from our connection and communion with the source of all that is God in us as us. And it doesn't matter whether we name it, call it, label it God or intelligence or life force. It is that something that is greater than us that we need to be at one with. And some people achieve that whilst they are still getting on with life. And some people attain that as they reach towards the end of their life. I have visited her several times now. And on one occasion, she said to me, Ingrid, I am experiencing such peace. I don't know where it's coming from, but I feel such a calm, such a peace that I've never felt before. I was thrilled to hear that, because for me, as I said in the outset, peace is so important. And to have it at the near end of our days is one thing, but it's more important to cultivate it and have it whilst we are still living life and still breathing and enjoying. And as we have spent countless hours talking one another, she shared with me how she had sorted everything that she wanted to sort, and that she had left a legacy for her grandchildren for their education, which was important to her. But I started to think about, what is it that gives us a peace or brings us peace or can help us cultivate peace? And as I thought about it, I saw that she too had taken the necessary steps to have peace in her final days. And she had managed to reconcile with her family that she hadn't spoken with in a considerable amount of time. The mother, when she had passed, had kind of divided them prior to that, and then, as with sometimes when there is an inheritance, money kind of blinkers and blind people to what's important. And so they fell out over that. But it is when we can forgive those who have wronged us and reconcile with them, I believe is one of the most, if not the most important stepping stone for being at peace. I always say, if Jesus on the cross could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What is there that someone can do to us that we can say is unforgivable? I have friends who will not forgive people who have hurt them or wronged them. They feel that the thing done against them is too severe to let them off by forgiving them. But as I constantly reiterate, forgiveness is not for them, it's for you. It severs that cord that connects you to them, or that hurtful incident, or that situation or experience. It holds you to it. Every time you think of them, you think of that. And the pain, the hurt, the disappointment, the despair, or whatever it is, arises over and over. To forgive them is to set yourself free. And to reconcile with them, for me, doesn't mean you're going to get back and be bosom pals or be buddy-buddy. But for me, personally, to be reconciled with them is to reconcile with them in my heart. If I see them, I can say hello. I can inquire about them and their well-being. I can have a small conversation. I'm not trying to turn back the clock and be what it used to be prior to whatever the offense or the hurt or the whatever. But I'm reconciled with them in my heart, that I don't have any grievance against them, that I don't hold them somehow accountable for whatever happened that pained or wounded me. And by that I mean, I'm no longer blaming them. I always love the quote that is attributed to Buddha, who says that pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. And when we hold on to unforgiveness, when we hold on to wanting to punish whoever, whatever they did to us, we are the ones that are suffering. We are the ones that are prolonging our pain, our hurt, and our disappointment. Reuben Carter says, you gain reconciliation from your enemies, but you can only gain peace for yourself. We gain peace when we are reconciled and have forgiven, and we don't need to be on our deathbed to do so. Any time is a good time, is an opportunity to make that peace for yourself. She asked me on my last visit, what did I think happens to the body, to the soul, when it dies? And for those of you that know me well enough know that my belief is that we come from God and we return to God. That is the great ocean of life, that infinite consciousness of which we are but a speck of. We are clothed and housed in this organic form called a body. And as all organic forms do, it will ultimately break down. And so the life that we were loan will be given back to the lender. And so there is nothing for me to fear in that. There is nothing for me to be concerned or disturbed about. And it's okay. We don't need to have all the answers or think that we know what happens after death. Every one of us might have a different belief. But it's important that we not be afraid to think about it, to contemplate it, and accept we don't know. Steve Jobs says that no one wants to die. Even people who want to go to heaven don't want to die to get there. And yet death is the destination we all share. No one has ever escaped it, and that is as it should be. Because death is very likely the single best invention of life. It is life's change agent. It clears out the old to make way for the new. As I have shared on numerous Sunday souls, that we should die before we die. That is to die to the things that hold us down, hold us back, the limiting thoughts, the negative beliefs, the erroneous ideas we hold about ourselves, about life, about living. Those are the things that should die so that we truly live and embrace the life we've been blessed with, that we have been given. That we look to fulfill the purpose for which we are here. And when I speak of purpose, I'm not talking about any particular grandiose way of being. As I say often, we are not here to be the next Nelson Mandela or Mother Teresa. But we are here to be the best version of who we are, in whatever shape or way or form that looks like. And each and every one of us has a different way, a different meaning, a different purpose. And there is no contention or comparison as to whose purpose is bigger, better, larger, smaller, lesser. We are here to express from that divine source, that ocean of life, that infinite consciousness that is in all, through all, and everywhere present. We are to give it its full expression and not dumb down. I caught myself this week. I had gone to collect my glasses and get my new glasses adjusted in this shop in Camden. And whilst I was in there, a fairly well-known female black comedian came in. We acknowledged one another. And she and her friend continued looking at spectacles, etc. And then she engaged me and said, you looked familiar. I said, no, I don't think I've seen you or known you before. I know of you, but I have not seen you before. And then her friend said, oh, are you a singer? And I laughed and I said, if I was a singer, you'd be running out of this store right now. But I never said what I was. I never acknowledged who and what I was about. And after I left the store, I questioned myself. Why did I not say I was a minister? Why did I not talk about what I do, what I'm about my Sunday soul? And it's something that kept popping into my head, why? After all, this is my purpose. This is my reason for being. Why did I not say? And I was speaking with my friend in Costa Rica yesterday, and we were talking. And we were talking about how things from our childhood are still impacting us well into our adulthood. And as I'm sharing with her this, and I'm sharing with her the fact that I never spoke to what I am or what I do, and as I'm sharing and speaking, it suddenly came to me, because my mother was someone who liked to brag and boast about herself and her accomplishments. I, who always want to be kind of the opposite of anything that I considered the negative of my mother, have gone the other way. I don't speak about who I am. I don't speak to what I do. I don't speak to what I've accomplished or what I've achieved. And as I'm sharing this morning with you about fulfilling our purpose, about living our purpose, in whatever way, shape, or form that is, it is occurring to me that sometimes we don't acknowledge whatever it is that we do, that is our purpose, that we do play small and dumb down. And in doing so, we are doing God a disservice. We are here to live our life so that our legacy, whenever it comes, is one that we can be proud of, that we fulfilled whatever it was that we were meant to do on this journey, this expedition called life and living. She has put all her affairs in order. A friend came up, sorted out her clothes and her jewelry. And she is a friend who I used to, when she had her shop, buy clothes from. That was how we started our friendship some 20 years ago, our love of clothes and our love of fashion. And one, before she closed the shop, she would invite me to come to Germany to shop with this particular company that I loved the style. And when we were there, I was looking at a piece of jewelry, and she was looking at the same piece of jewelry. And I acquiesced to her, as she was the buyer and I was simply a guest. And she gave me this piece of jewelry to remember her by. She said, "Do you remember this?" And I didn't. I'd completely forgotten. And she reminded me of the story of how we both had liked it, but I had acquiesced it to her. And so I wore it the next time I went to see her, and she was touched and happy to see that I was wearing something that she had given and left me to remember her by. So I believe that peace comes also as we simplify our life, we declutter. I've started to, for I know there's so much stuff that I have, it doesn't even bear mentioning or thinking about. But simplifying life, simplifying what you need from what you don't need. I always love the quotes that there's the kind of a joke saying that there are no pockets in a shroud. We're not taking anything with us. We come into this world and we leave this world the same way. And so, as I said, we spent many hours, and she's given me her iPad to show me pictures of past holidays and trips they've done and pictures of the grandchildren. And she expressed a deep, deep gratitude for the life she has and the life she had. She has no regrets about leaving. She has lived a good life. And she's been blessed and loved by the many people that care for her and that have visited her. And that she is so grateful, 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 grateful. Charles Dickens says that, "Reflect upon present blessings, of which every man has many, and not on your past misfortunes, of which all men have some." I've always loved that from Charles Dickens. I believe it was from A Christmas Carol. Because all of us are blessed now, And all of us have had trials and tribulations in the past. But as I said in the beginning, we have to be reconciled with these things. Forgive them, learn our lessons, embrace, embody them, and move on. The other thing that I noticed, she had come to an acceptance and a letting go of the things that she could no longer influence or affect or change. She had accepted that this is her time and accepted that there are things maybe she had left undone. But she was okay with that. I believe we too have to come to a place of acceptance and letting go. Acceptance, it is what it is. You have often heard me share that. And let go of what no longer serves you, what you've not done, what's been left undone, what should have been done. Let go of the would've, could've, should've, why didn't I? Accept that every day you have an opportunity to do the best that you can. And if you don't do as well as previously, forgive yourself and let that go too. And finally, although she's not a religious person, I believe she has now ultimately surrendered to a higher power. I believe each and every one of us here recognize our oneness with that higher power. Even if at all times we don't use it or utilize it or embrace and embody it, it is always with us. I want to share a science mind reading that spoke to me this week. It's entitled Masquerade. The first quote is from Zechariah 4:6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Our second quote from Ernest Holmes, The Science of Mind. Someone has said that the entire world is suffering from one big fear, the fear that God will not answer our prayers. The author writes, a woman was leaning over the victim of an accident while a crowd looked on. Suddenly, she was roughly pushed aside by a man who said, "Step back, please. I've had a course in first aid." The woman looked on for a few minutes while the man got busy with the victim. Then she calmly said, "When you come to the part where you have to send for the doctor, I'm already here." It is productive to sit and explore the depth of such stories. Are we not both the one lying in the street and the one blocking our solution through acts of desperation? If the doctor in the story represents our communion with wholeness, why, at times, do we push it aside? How deep are our hypnotic impressions that, as Holmes said, we seek fragments when the whole is at hand? Control rides shotgun with fear. Our solution has always and will continue to be present with us at all times. But fear will tell us otherwise. The last words spiritual teacher Ram Dass said to my dear friend were, "Beware of the ego masquerading as spirit." I sit with this wisdom. This world is both noisy and finite. There are never-ending personalities of noise that hide behind impotent titles and degrees. If I am able to see it, I must be willing to accept my past contributions to such noise. The spiritual world is both mysterious and infinite in its care. The poet Rumi invited us to trade our cleverness for bewilderment. What rigidity can we trade in? What control? What story? The doctor of redemption is already here. I love that science of mind reading because it speaks to the fact that the omnipresent, omnipotence, omnipresent God is right where we are. That at times we forget to surrender to that higher power, to that all-knowing, ever-present Mother, Father, God. My sacred text this morning I want to share too with you. The first is 1 Corinthians 15:54-6. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Our second quote is from Romans 14:19. Let us then pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. My poem is untitled and unknown. Life is but a stopping place, a pause in what's to be, a resting place along the road to sweet eternity. We all have different journeys, different paths along the way. We were all meant to learn some things, but never meant to stay. Our destination is a place far greater than we know. For some the journey's quicker, for some the journey's slow. And when the journey finally ends, we claim a great reward and find an everlasting peace together with our Lord. My story is a short one. In London, there's a woman who goes every day to the subway and sits on the dock just to listen to the announcement recorded by her husband in 1950. Margaret McCollum, after the death of her husband, Oswald Lawrence, sits on the bench waiting to hear this recording that became one of London's most famous, Mind the Gap. In 2003, Oswald died, leaving a huge void in Margaret's heart. So Margaret found a way to feel his presence closest. But from that day, more than half a century ago, this voice was replaced by an empty electronic recording. Out of distress, Margaret asked for this cassette tape to the London Subway Transport Company to continue listening to her husband's voice at home. But knowing the moving history, the company decided to restore the announcement in the only stop near the house where the woman lives, specifically at the embankment stop on the Northern Line, where all passengers can listen today to Oswald Lawrence's voice and to think that eternal love really exists. There was a cute little story I wanted to share with you. My beloved, I want us to embrace peace now and all the steps we need to make sure that whatever might separate us from peace, we take the steps to recover and retrieve that peace that passes all human understanding, the peace that our Lord and teacher Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives it give I unto you, but my peace. So if you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go within and connect with the source, the ground of being, God in us as us. As we take the time to acknowledge this organic body temple and its work that it carries out without us being conscious or aware. So let us take first 3 deep breaths to settle ourselves in. Inhale. Lower the diaphragm, extend the stomach, and take in the life-giving, energizing breath of God. Hold. Gently, slowly release. Inhale. Hold. third and final time, inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly, release. Bring your attention down into your heart, that center of the soul, cave of the spirit. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work that the heart carries out without you instructing it, directing it. It pumps our life-giving blood round our bodies. Inhale and affirm. This is my breath as I breathe in love. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out cruelty. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in joy. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out impatience. Now brace your attention on your kidneys at your back. Take a moment to give thanks for how the kidneys work on eliminating the toxic substances and waste from your body. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in gentleness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out fear. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in calmness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out stress. Now bring your attention to your liver at the front on the right side under your ribcage. Take a moment to give thanks and acknowledge with gratitude the way the liver detoxifies your blood and combats infections and illnesses. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in kindness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anger. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in generosity. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out frustration. And place your attention on your lungs. Give thanks for the way the lungs bring in the air from the atmosphere and pass the oxygen round through the bloodstream to your organs. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in honesty. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out depression. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in courage. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out grace. Sorry, this is my breath as I breathe out sadness. Now bring your attention to your stomach. And take a moment to acknowledge the work that the stomach does as it breaks down the food and stores and mixes it, and give thanks. Give thanks. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in fairness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anxiety. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in trust. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out worry. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude for all the systems within our body, within this wonderful organic body temple of God. The skeletal, the nervous, the muscular, the respiratory, the endocrine, the immune, the cardiovascular, the urinary, the intercambitary, the reproductive and the digestive systems, all of them operating without your thought, direction, awareness. And affirm, the divine within me is wholeness. And my mind reflects this wholeness into every organ, every function, every action, every reaction of my physical being, renewing it after the perfect pattern, the Christ within me. Take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer. As always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that is in need of prayer at this time. We know that God is a spirit whose center is everywhere and circumference is nowhere. There is nowhere where God is not. So as we consciously come into communion this morning, let us acknowledge that right where we are, God is. God's peace, God's love, God's joy. Let us choose to cultivate peace right here, right now, to reconcile and forgive any wrongs or wrongdoings of others or ourselves. Let us recognize that we should simplify our lives. Let us accept and let go. Let us live our purpose. Let us surrender to the higher power that is God in us as us. Mother, Father, God, Thou who art the ground of our being, the source of all that is, the absolute mystery, the divine agency that is at the center of us. This morning as we seek to expand our awareness, our belief, our acceptance in cultivating peace and all the necessary steps that are required in order to achieve it. Strengthen us in our resolve so that we can forgive and be reconciled, so that we know how to simplify, let go and accept that which doesn't serve us, to live the purpose for which we came here onto this earth to fulfill, and to know in all times and always to surrender to you, to allow your spirit to guide, to direct, to provide for us. You are that infinite intelligence that is everywhere present. The psalmist recognized that there was nowhere where you are not, where there He dwelt in the depths of the ocean or the utmost highest peaks of the mountain. Your spirit was ever there to guide, to direct, to protect, to provide. So in this morning as we come into you consciously in prayer, we are so grateful to know that the peace that passes all human understanding, is right where we are. That you, the source of all that is right where we are. You, the one power, the one presence, the one life, is right where we are. In this truth, in this awareness, in this acceptance, we can feel your peace. We can experience your peace. We we can embody your peace. We can live your peace. Mother, Father, God, as always, we have to bring our world into our circle of prayer. There's so much happening, from landslides to earthquakes to typhoons to cyclones to so much. I cannot even know it all or mention it all. We seek a world that is inclusive, that is accepting of oneness, oneness with each other and oneness with you. We are holding a vision for a world where all people are equal, where all people have enough to eat, where all people can live free of fear and tyranny. So we take a moment to hold in our mind's eye the vision of a world that works for all, where all are included, all have enough, all are at peace. For anything I have failed to ask, I know you will not fail to bless. For it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. That kingdom containing all peace, all love, all joy. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever grateful. And so it is. And so. Take a deep breath in as we do our movement prayer this morning. Stretch your hands towards the sky, wiggle your fingers and affirm, I'm enthusiastic about life and living. Brush your hands, palms down over your heart and affirm, I'm loving, loved and lovable. Bring your hands as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm, I speak only words that are life-giving and energizing. Drop your hands to your sides, palms open, and affirm, I give thanks for my abundant good. Bend your elbows, make small circles with your wrists, and affirm, I release all limiting thoughts and beliefs about myself. Take a deep breath in as I meet the ferns for our Buddhist reflections and affirmations. Repeat after me our signs of mind affirmation. I am a vessel for spirit.
I am a vessel for spirit.
Our Buddhist reflection. If anyone has hurt or harmed me,
if anyone has hurt or harmed me,
knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed,
knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed,
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive the past and close the door.
Forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe,
contented and at peace,
contented
and at peace.
May my physical body provide me with strength. May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
Our prayer of intention. I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly. I am the presence of God within and without.
I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly. May I be happy. May I be peaceful.
May I be free.
May my friends be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free. May those that challenge me be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May all beings be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. Our rumination this morning, Rumi says, peaceful is the one who's not concerned with having more or less. Unbound by name and fame, he is free from sorrow and from the world and mostly from himself. I will be going on holiday, and so there will be no Tenet 10 this week or Sunday Soul next week. But we will be back for our Tenet 10 on the 14th of July, so please make a note. My closing benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. My closing song is one that I heard this week for the first time, and it touched me, and it made me change the original song I was going to share with you. So I trust you like it as much as I do. It's entitled I Am Love by Davy Flowers.
Thank you.
As I scroll down to find it, enjoy.
Love.
Thank you.